and we're going to flow with it. So with all of that, go ahead and in one hand, grab your notes. In the other hand, grab your Bible, and with your foot, kind of keep your kids close, and let's go to it. Let's begin in Amos chapter 7, and we're going to finish out chapter 7, next week's chapter 8, the next week's chapter 9, and then we celebrate with Ivan coming and the other things that are happening at the end of the month, which we'll talk more about for the 29th, and so forth. Today we're going to look at, and we want to welcome you to the Church of the Golden Calf. And we'll introduce you to the pastor and the vision statement and the strategic process of this church that Amos runs into. But first, let's go ahead and begin. That's page 769 in your church Bible, the black Bible in front of you. 769, I believe. Is that about right? Yeah, 769. And we'll begin reading at verse 10 of chapter 7 of Amos. The kids are saying, one, two, we only have 3 weeks till cookies start. Or is it the parents? This section back here, where, you know, Deb's keeping track. And they're coming. But Amos chapter 7, let's begin reading in verse 10. Again, we saw some pictures last week, a few pictures, and now we get to meet somebody. Then Amaziah, the priest at Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear his words. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall go into exile away from his land. And Amaziah said to Amos, O seer, go, flee away to the land of Judah, and eat bread there, and prophesy there. Never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary, and it's a temple of the kingdom. Then Amos answered and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, nor a prophet's son, but I was a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore figs. But the Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord called me to. And he says, go, prophesy to my people Israel. Now therefore, hear the word of the Lord. You say, do not prophesy against Israel, and do not preach against the house of Isaac. Therefore, thus says the Lord, your wife shall be a prostitute in the city, and your sons and your daughters shall fall by the sword. And your land shall be divided up with a measuring line. You yourself shall die in an unclean land, and Israel shall surely go into exile from its land. And we thought prophecy was only to encourage. I don't know how that sat. Let's just begin in prayer once again. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for families. Lord, we thank you for life. I thank you for noises and laughter and Lord, even the fidgetiness, Lord, we just thank you for life. We thank you for your word. Speak to us, open our ears, open our hearts to hear what your spirit says to the church this morning. Amen. Right on cue. Little cash. Well, last week, Amos revealed several pictures to us. You remember a locust, a fire, and a plumb line? And those of you that enjoy pictures in your storybooks, you had a fun time last week. And those of you that are extroverts, this week is your week. Those of you that gain energy by being with others or meeting new people, this is your week. Amos runs into somebody after being fairly solitary through all of these verses and chapters. He is now greeted by a man. And as this unfolds, we all like the story of an underdog, don't we? Whether it's a sports team or in the Bible, we have David and Goliath, and we have Gideon and his 300 versus the Midianites, and you could go on and on with the underdog. And there's a battle brewing in these verses between a clear superior and someone we would classify as an underdog. Amos is found lacking a congregation. He's just wandering here and there, And he's pitted up against Amaziah, who really represents the establishment of religion. He has all the power, all the protocol, all the pomp behind him. He's got the mega church there behind him with all its shrines and all of its festivals. And as I was studying this, I found that when he's introduced in verse 10 as the priest of Bethel, that can be also expounded into he was an idol priest, not an American idol priest. I had to say it, James. But an idol priest in terms of a graven image. And it also can be translated out, he was part of the temple of the golden calves. As you know, you remember that story back in Exodus of the golden calf, where they melted all the gold down and they built this magnificent calf and they worshiped the idol. So here's Amaziah. In verses 9, which we read last week, Amos finishes up his prophetic word against Jeroboam, against the land, against Bethel. And he's greeted by the board of directors or the board of elders of this church of Bethel. So Amos is standing on the steps and he finishes the words of his mouth in verse 9, which are pretty radical. And the board meets him and says, "All right, we have heard enough." And Amos looks up and sees Amaziah, which is the head of the board, the leader of the board, and they're all looking to him for his leadership. And he's standing there behind the big marquee, the church of the golden calf. And as Amos wanders into this place, we're met with some striking contrasts between Amos's God-directed ministry and the religious activities of this huge ministry, the Church of the Golden Calf, CGC International, led by the superstar pastor Amaziah, the Reverend Amaziah. And in these contrasts, which we'll just briefly go over, we won't even go that deep into the text, there's several things that we're going to see. And as we ask ourselves as fathers, as mothers, as families, and as congregation members, where do we identify? Do we identify with the Church of the Golden Calf? Or do we identify with the God-given, the God-directed ministry of Amos? Rich, in his foresight, saw it necessary to remove a row or two in the back, and you can pace, you can walk, it doesn't bother me. If you're carrying a baby, that's great. If you just want to walk around, that's good too. So please, be comfortable. As babies are crying and kids are getting uptight, it's not a problem. So what we see is the Church of the Golden Calf. And what I've endeavored to do, I have a streak of creativity, struck me, and I penned the words of what you'll see here. And what you're looking at in your notes is, we'll follow along, there's only three blanks to fill in. This is the Church of the Golden Calf at Bethel with the Reverend Amaziah, senior pastor, and their motto is, "Come as you are, leave as you are." It's that simple. Come visit our new facility on the hill overlooking the beautiful town of Bethel. There's something for everyone. And then we're going to review their vision statement and some strategic process, and we'll welcome you in as they welcomed Amos in, kind of. So our first blank that I have there under the mission statement is, the Church of the Golden Calf was and is, because it really hasn't gone away. There's still elements of it among us. We see that in verse 10, that it was politically charged. Politically charged. And what you see in verse 10 is Amaziah. You see a priest sending a message to the king. The priest sent word to the king. Now, if you remember way back in the very first study, you remember that after Solomon, the kingdom was divided into two sections, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. The southern kingdom being Judah, which the center of all religious activity was in Jerusalem, which was in Judah. Well, Jeroboam thought, well, hey, in order to secure the loyalties of my northern kingdom that I'm king over, I'm going to move and really pull people to come to Bethel. So what they did is they built shrines, they built all kinds of things, and they had activities, and they rallied the people there at Bethel, and that became the focus then, up in the northern kingdom. But what we see is from the beginning of these activities in Bethel, the priesthood was politically appointed. What that means is the king picked him. He was politically appointed. Amaziah didn't go through any lengthy confirmation. He was just appointed by the king. And we see that in verse 13. If you look at that, never prophesy, don't prophesy here at Bethel, for it's the king's sanctuary. Not God's sanctuary, the king's sanctuary. And the atmosphere at Bethel was highly politicized. Amaziah had a vested interest in keeping the status quo. Hey, we don't want any quarrels, we don't want any fights, let's just maintain, because, hey, by the way, the king's watching and we just want to leave things the way they are. So as a review, Bethel was the king's sanctuary. The priest was politically appointed. And therefore, the priest, the religious leader, was very concerned to keep things normal. Now, on a very practical level, as I begin to ponder this, I thought, well, as Amaziah was running the megachurch, and there's a lot of responsibilities that he has, the place was crowded, and there was all kinds of decisions to be made. What kind of things would run through his head in terms of making decisions? And I called that his strategic process. So when he called his board together, the Church of the Golden Calf had a few things in mind. First of all, what would the king think? Would this or that decision that we're about to make, would it upset the government? Would it upset those in political circles, those with the money, the high rollers, the influencers of the culture? Would it upset them? Then the next question they would ask, well, what would the people think? Those that come. Would this or that decision upset the delicate balance of those that paid into the religious system? What would the people think? In other words, the whole thing became man-centered. What would the king think? And what would the people think? Because if those don't come out right, we're not going to do it. We're not going to move in that direction. And that's really what happened. The Church of the Golden Calf became very centered around culture, the concerns of the day, and that has kind of a 21st century ring to it, doesn't it? How many churches have bowed to the money in the congregation? How many churches, how many of us have strayed so far that worship songs don't even have the name Jesus in them anymore? May offend. Or we've replaced preaching with sitting around tables asking, well, what do you think this verse means to you? It may mean something to me. What's it mean to you? Like the notion that preaching is not even has a place in this culture should alarm us a bit. Completely man-centered. Notice Amaziah, he actually admits it. What does he admit? Verse 10, the end of verse 10. The land could not bear all of his words. But the land can always bear the words of those that are not speaking truth. The land prefers to have their ears tickled. What does the government think? I'm people concerned. Amaziah would come to the pulpit, or he would lead his worship services, and when he would get his team around him in terms of the topics of the day, the scripture readings of the day, the thread through it is, listen, people need a positive message. They hear negativity all week. My goodness, people, when they leave, they need to feel good about themselves. So we must do that. Our message must make them feel good about themselves, and we don't want to infringe on their self-esteem. And so that's what happened at this place in Bethel. It became all about the people. And then the voice of God showed up through Amos. And that the weight of that word caused Amaziah to come out and say, okay, enough is enough. The land cannot bear your words anymore. The people are not happy. They can't take it. And God's word will always stir up the status quo, doesn't it? But there's no such stirring in these congregations. Amaziah would have nothing of it. He became more interested in what their neighbors thought of them up on that hill than they cared what God thought of them. And that's where Amos found himself when he strayed into the church of the golden calf. The third question they would ask briefly is, how would I protect my position? How would this decision protect my position, my title, my territory within the church? After all, if we're going to decide things and go a direction or do something, I want to make sure that I'm preserved, my role, my position. And you look at that in verse 12, you hear Amaziah coming out and saying, "Oh, seer, flee away. Go back to the land. Go back to your land, your homeland. Go eat bread there. Go prophesy there. Go make money peddling your prophetic words down there." Kind of has a sneer to it as I read it. And it speaks to self-serving serving. Think about that. That was the word I wrote down here, self-serving serving. Well, I'm going to serve, but it's self-serving. In other words, there were politics in the church. There's no vacancies here, Amos. Not in this ministry. Why don't you go down there, take money from there, not here. Don't take our money. And you can almost picture the internal jockeying for positions within the church. Whether that would be a leadership role or a volunteer role, whatever it is, there's a jockeying, a promotion among men, promoting ourselves in the eyes of men. We need to remember that in terms of ownership of these things, we need to hold on to our positions lightly. If you're serving in an area and new folks come into it, or there's different teachers coming in and you begin to feel threatened, stand back. Evaluate it, because you're standing in the church of the golden calf. And the danger is remaining there. Self-serving serving becomes idol worship. It's idolatry of self. So the church of the golden calf was politically charged. They cared what the government thought. They cared what the people thought, more than they thought and cared what God thought. It literally had politics in the church. Now, that has no place in the body of Christ, but if we showed a hand, you've all run into it, haven't you? You've either been a part of it or you've run into it. Politicking in the church. Secondly, the second line you see here on your outline, the vision statement. First of all, you're going to find a very politically charged atmosphere. We're very respectable here. Secondly, the Church of the Golden Calf was and is full of misrepresentations. See, Amaziah, when he sent the note, sent the messenger up to the king, he misrepresents Amos the man, he misrepresents the message of Amos, and he misrepresents the motives of Amos. Now, if you and I are endeavoring to serve the Lord with all of our hearts, you will be the focus of misrepresentation. You as a person, your motives will be misrepresented, misunderstood. Your words can even be twisted. And we want to be faithful in proclaiming God's word to the shrines and to the marketplaces of our day. You will be the target of this kind of thing. Amos walks in and starts getting shot by the establishment. So I read the commentaries this week. There was a great quote, and I lifted it out, and I'll give it to you here. There's no proclamation without misrepresentation. Kind of has a Revolutionary War ring to it. No proclamation without misrepresentation. So you can't walk out of here and start talking about moral absolutes without getting just bombarded. Completely misquoted. Completely misunderstood. You can't tell me there's only one way. Matthew 5:11, Jesus' word says, "Blessed are you." See, there's a blessing that attends you when others insult you, persecute you, utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And you can imagine Jesus thinking of Amos as one of those prophets. Now, if we find ourselves caught up in the church of the golden calf, we will ourselves be engaged in gossip, slander, misrepresenting others' motives, their name, questioning people's motives. The bullet point under this full of misrepresentation is, listen, if you come to the Church of the Golden Calf, hey, due to liability policies, we conduct thorough and continuous background checks on all members. So just be ready. We're always going to be looking. We're always going to be checking. And we're always going to be questioning your motives. If that hits home, that's evidenced in slander, gossip, all of the... that we can't begin to tell you how many times that is spoken against in the New Testament. It's dangerous. It's a cancer. It will eat this place alive. It will destroy your family. It's a wholesale misrepresentation of one another. And Amaziah did all of this behind his back. He sent a messenger talking about him behind his back. Slandering, secrets, whispers. If you're caught up in that, Amaziah is good company. And there Amaziah led the way. And we must shut our mouths. Politically charged, full of misrepresentations. And thirdly, we're going to find false harmony. That's your third line, false harmony. Amaziah and his crew, full of false harmony, verses 12 and 13. Amaziah encourages Amos to relocate his membership. You see that? Go away. Don't you think it's time for a move, Amos? Why don't you go home for your own sake? After all, things are different here. You don't really fit here. Your message isn't real well received. And don't you think you need to move on? Amos didn't fit the mold. The Church of Bethel had all the signs of true unity. As I pondered on this, they had a large meeting place. They had crowded halls. Place was packed. Regular festivals. They had a lot of activities going on. And Amaziah was saying, and it's true of the Church of the Golden Calf, we really have no room here for differences. If you can't conform to us, you're going to have to leave. We don't have time to try and understand you, and we don't disagree around here. Do you understand me? These are some of the things that you would hear if you wandered the halls or got into issues with their leadership. But their appearance of unity was only a surface level, at best. But biblical unity goes much deeper. Biblical unity takes time to struggle through the tough stuff. Amaziah and his crew at the CGC, they just send you on your way to avoid any potential conflict. Thus, your bullet point in their welcome brochure: enjoy a no-conflict environment among those that share everything in common. And hey, we have a one-of-a-kind relocation ministry. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And really, what happens in these churches and in these atmospheres and in these people is that you just introduce a spirit of divorce. And if there's any... is there anything among us in the body of Christ? Is there anything, any such thing as an irreconcilable difference in the body of Christ? Within the context of believers, is there any such thing as an irreconcilable difference? And Messiah would say, absolutely. As a matter of fact, we're not even going to discuss it. Go home. But the true church deals deeply to come to unity. And most times it happens through conflict. Biblical conflict. You're not out to shoot each other, but you're out to understand each other. It's a mark of a healthy church. We don't have to agree about everything. There's some very important things that we want to agree on. But if we sit in a class and I hear Melvin say something, listen, we may read it differently. It's not a big deal. We need to get over some of those things, because some of us have been to 6 or 8 different churches because we're still trying to find it all. And you're not going to find it. You're not going to find it all. We wholeheartedly, opposed to the Church of the Golden Calf, we wholeheartedly embrace the ministry of reconciliation from 2 Corinthians. Not only reconciling people to God, but reconciling people to ourselves and ourselves to others. And Amaziah's response is quite humbling as we end. He's just so real, isn't he? I'm not a prophet. You know what? My dad's not a prophet. Matter of fact, I handle sheep. I take care of sycamore fig trees. In other words, God is all I have. I have nothing else to boast about. And in your home section, I have 1 Corinthians 1:26. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is the foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. And as we all sit here this morning, we could say amen to that. Now, many of us are from noble birth. Matter of fact, we're not all that wise. That's the way he meant it. Verse 15, God took me from following the flock, and the Lord said, go. And each of us this morning, each family, has responded and said, you know what, I was following the crowd. I may have found myself at the Church of the Golden Calf, but I'm following God's voice now. He's given you and I a message to proclaim. And one of those messages is that as we look around at each other and as we express differences and views in some areas, to say, you know what? I'm for you. I'm for you. Even though you might upset me, although you're different than me, and even though you may hurt me, I am for you. Not against you. That's a message of reconciliation. That the true church, one expressing true unity, we carry that message. It's very not easy, but that's what we're called to. And in verse 16, you say don't prophesy. Verse 17 says, but the Lord says. That was not an easy word to give. And as a church, our quest is not for political security, not for a culture of misrepresentation, and certainly not for false harmony, is it? May we be a people who walk humbly before God and one another as we boldly speak to the establishments of our day with a message. With a message, you say, but God says. You say, don't pray, but God says, pray. You say, abort babies, but God says, no, you don't. And a very practical expression of that message takes effect and gives us the opportunity on Tuesday to vote. A very simple thing. We've been given a message. Vote righteousness. Vote God's standards. You say, but God says. Get out and vote. Speak up. He's given us a message. Well, welcome to the Church of the Golden Calf. Amaziah, the senior pastor, he liked to talk. He took a good part of that. But you know what? Who had the last word? God had the last word. And he will have the last word in this church as well. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. Lord, you have revealed these things for our teaching. Lord, these things are here for us to learn. Lord, the marks, Father, of an apostate church, a church that has walked away from you, Lord, full of politicism, full of misrepresentation, Lord, full of surface unity, Lord. Father, we want none of it here. We want none of it in our families, Lord. Father, as Melvin said, Lord, just open us up. Reveal it, Lord. Don't let us get away with these things. Impress them upon our hearts as we go from this place, Lord. Let us return to these words. And let's deal truthfully with them. As we read these words, Lord, may these words read us this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen.